supposed to enjoy the Beulah land of Christ, walking in it every day, married to Christ. Let's sing it. 426. We've been looking at perils to possessing the Beulah land. I don't know, did you notice that song that it is talking about your daily walk with the Lord and getting strength from the Lord in that? That's walking in Beulah land, walking in married land. My wife and I are married and we're walking in married land. We're not separated, we're not living differently. She doesn't live on her own, I don't live on my own. We're married, and we're having a good time living in married land, aren't we, honey? Aren't you, honey? Eh? You better say yes, right? I'm having a good time. I don't know if she is, but I am. And I do know she is, too. Because that's my job, to make sure that she is, right? Husbands, you got to make sure your wife's happy. And take care of those needs that they have, because they have them. They need to be taken care of. They need to know they're loved, and you better be giving that love out to them, right, honey? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's good to be married. And it's good to be walking in that same way with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the husband, we're the wife. And we're to be dwelling in Beulah land, and we've been looking at perils that come our way in possessing that fellowship, that walk with the Lord. Like the children of Israel, they did not fully possess the land like God wanted them to. And if they had, oh, they would have been joyful and blessed and rejoicing in the Lord throughout their history. But there were perils to their possessing that land, and it caused them not to have that grand fellowship and joy in the Lord like they should have. One of them was the peril of blunder. Remember, they almost had a civil war. Remember that? Then the peril of... Or that was an unintentional blunder there that happened then. And then the peril of misunderstanding. Remember the three tribes, two and a half tribes actually, built an altar. We talked about that last week. And they thought they were going off and worshiping a different god and everything else. Misunderstanding. They were just building that altar as a memorial to the real altar in the tabernacle. And now tonight, another peril. A peril of apostasy, a departing from the faith. And the children of Israel are warned about this, and we're not going to see it so much in the chapter here, but as you read the rest of the Old Testament, you find they did exactly that. They apostatized. They went into apostasy. What apostasy means in the English language, it's a word to describe leaving the faith, departing from the faith. You know, some people, they make profession. I believe these things. I believe these doctrines and so forth. And then 20 years down the road, you say to yourself, that ministry no longer holds to the things they declared 20 years ago. What happened? There was a departure from the faith. An apostasy that takes place. We need to be aware of the possibility to do that and to avoid it. So here we go. Chapter 23. The whole chapter, folks. That's what it's all about. We're going to read it. Here we go. Verse 1. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. You know, just stop right there. Getting old stinks, doesn't it? I was saying that this morning. It just, but it happens. It's what happens. We get old. We get old and decrepit and start falling apart. And it does happen. Here is Joshua now, waxing old and stricken in age. Stricken in age. So you know it's not a positive thing. It doesn't say rejoicing robustly in age. It doesn't say that, does it? It says stricken in age. Kind of gives you the negative aspect of what age does to us. But I'm going to tell you something, though Joshua was stricken in age and getting old, waxing old, he still was faithful. Faithful to the things of God. He hadn't changed his mind about possessing the land that God told him to go in and to be the captain of. He hadn't changed his mind at all. And thank God for folks who stick to it and keep on holding the truth all the way to the end. How about you? How you doing? Are you holding on? Are you holding on to the truth? You say, I believe the truth just as it was originally given to me. And by God's grace, I'm going to keep on believing that until we get to heaven. That's what you need to, even if I get waxing old and stricken in age, I'm going to hold to the truth and the doctrine. We've got Nana down here, what, 90? How old are you going to be? In October, 95 years old. Are you ready to give up any of the doctrines, Nana? No. Amen. She's not going to give it up. She's going to go all the way into glory, believing the Word of God. And I went by her husband's grave the other day, and I just had to pull in my car in there and go on over and walk over to his gravestone and just pause for a moment. Thank God for a man like that. He didn't apostatize either. He stayed true and faithful right up to the very end. And what a man of God he was to us here at Race Street Baptist Church for all those years. May we all be just like that and like Joshua right here in our Bible. Verse 2, "And Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes, from Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you." I like that. You know, Joshua hasn't given up what God said he wanted to do. And here he is, waxing old, stricken in age, and he's still telling the children of Israel, you will completely possess the land. God will be with you. Even though it's been a long time now since, as you see there in verse 1, came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, Joshua's still there saying, he will allow you to possess the land. You know what faithful preachers of the Word of God today will say to the congregation of the church age right now, saying, he is able to deliver you. 'Tis the grandest theme. You know, he is able to deliver you. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he does. And faithful preachers will keep on preaching to you until the day you die or until they die. When they get wax old and stricken in age, and they're going to keep saying, you know what? You can always enjoy more fellowship with the Lord. There's more land, spiritually speaking, for us to possess. Don't get dried out on the vine. Don't lose the joy of the Lord. There is more to be had. Do you realize that when we actually do get to heaven, the things we're going to learn are going to go right on into eternity? You're not going to grab it all in all of eternity. Now that is something. And yet he wants to give you things now, blessings now, understanding now, the riches of Christ now. He wants you to grab a hold of the unsearchable riches of Christ now. And what is the length, the breadth, the height, the depth of the things that God has for you and me? You can't even measure it. And yet you ought to be grabbing a hold of it more and more. But there are perils to it. Peril of blunder, almost had a civil war, peril of misunderstanding, now the peril of apostasy. And now we're going to see it here, verse 6. Be ye therefore very courageous. Oh, amen. What a man of God Joshua was, you know. Be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. Brother Sammer, by the way, it's been a long time since Moses wrote the originals, and yet he's still encouraging them to do everything that is written in the book of the law of Moses. There you go. There's your preservation of the Word of God. We always get it in, don't we? One way or another, we get it into the message. Here we go. Don't turn to the right hand or to the left. Verse 7. That ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you. Now he's admitting that they did not fully possess as they should because of compromise and so forth. Neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. The sad thing about those words is, as you read them, you know very well in your mind that the rest of the Old Testament is nothing more than a detailed account of how they did exactly what Joshua told them not to do. The rest of the Old Testament is an account of them doing that. And it's a sad thing for ministers today to watch the people in their congregation as they tell them the very same thing Joshua told the nation of Israel, and you watch them go off into compromise, and they depart, and they do exactly what Joshua told Israel not to do. They compromise with the world. They marry into the world. They serve the world's things. They go after the worldliness of the world. And they lower the standards. And they end up even worshiping the gods of the world. A sad thing to watch. And yet we watch it over and over again. Generation after generation after generation. Preacher after preacher after preacher watches the same cycle take place over and over again. And it's no good. Well, the cycle has to go. It doesn't have to go. But it does. And it's better that you don't get into that cycle. Verse 8. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. Did any of you see my little grandson come in here today? He grabbed a hold of my pants. Did you see him grabbing me here? How many saw that? All right. A number of you saw him doing that. That's cleaving. Cleaving unto Papa, you know, Grandpa. You need to cleave unto the Lord God. I mean, grab a hold of Him. I'm not letting go. I want to stay right there with the Lord. That's what Joshua's saying here. But cleave unto the Lord your God. Now, I know God holds you. And He does. He holds you even when you don't cleave like you should. Thank God for that. Thank Him for that. But you need to cleave unto Him too. You need to hold on to Him. Holding forth the word of life. Study the word of God to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hold fast to sound doctrine, the New Testament tells us. And that's cleaving, folks. That's grabbing a hold and saying, I'm not letting go. There's a peril here. Why is Joshua saying this? He knows there's going to be trouble if they don't. So he's telling them. Verse 8. Verse 9, for the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, He it is that fighteth for you as He hath promised you. Take good heed there unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. So you cleave unto the Lord and love the Lord. Verse 12, else, here it is. If ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your side, and thorns in your eyes. Scourges in your side. Have you ever had an itch? You know, an itch in your side. It just itches. How many of you have ever had that disease that's called... Helena has it. Shingles. How many have ever had shingles? Raise your hand. Well, then you know what this verse is all about. A scourge in your side or back, wherever it might be. It can really be itchy and cause you trouble. And you're looking for relief from it. It doesn't seem to come from anything. And here he's saying scourges in your side, thorns in your eyes. You ever get anything in your eyes? It hurts, doesn't it? Doesn't it, Chris? Chris has been having some trouble with her eyes. That hurts, doesn't it? When the eye isn't just right. Boy, it doesn't take much to get all kinds of problems in your eyes. Pray for Sister Chris. She's got problems with her eyes. That it would get better for her. But here the nation of Israel is told by Joshua to be thorns in your eyes until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And he goes on, and behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Now you might say, well, what about the compromise? They didn't get everything because they left some of the people in the land. That's their problem. God kept His word. God kept His word. It is their problem that they had that caused them problems. Verse 15. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he have destroyed you from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you. When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. It's almost like as if Joshua expected it to take place. Moses also had similar words. I don't believe Joshua is speaking here brand new ideas. He's heard this before. And it was spoken of even back in Abraham's time. It was spoken of in Moses' day. And now Joshua, he being about ready to go, as all men go, he says the same thing. You know what? If you do not obey the Lord, you're going to find the Lord will bring evil unto you until you perish from off the land. Oh, you know, when we allow this peril of apostasy to take place. And, you know, the apostasy can be a real slight one as well, not just real departure from the faith, indicating that you're lost and so forth, but a departing from the things that God has told us to do. There's a peril in that. Christians can do these things and walk away from the things of the Lord and find themselves in sin. And oh, the consequences of sin. It's like a scourge on your back. It's like a thorn in your eye. It's a snare and a trap. Oh, sin is awful and its consequences are horrible. I say to you, don't fall into this plunder, into this peril. Cleave unto the Lord. Love the Lord. Keep His word. Back in the Old Testament, keep His commandments. New Testament, keep His words. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, the New Testament tells us. Oh, Christian, don't fall into this peril of apostasy. Many have. And as we get closer to the end of the age, folks, the words Joshua spoke there, look at there in verse 15. The words he says here are going to take place even in the church age. And I'm going to show you. Look here, verse 15, read it again. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he have destroyed you from off this good land. Would you go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. I'll start reading, and unto the church, angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. This is the Lord speaking to the church age. I believe the very end of the church age. And just like Joshua says, the evil things will come upon you till he destroy you from off the land. Look at, spew thee out of my mouth. Very similar type of words, are they not? Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Folks, that's the church not possessing Beulah land. That's the church compromising with the world. Rich, have need of nothing. Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. Some of those things even literally. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. You know, back there it was, you're going to have thorns in your eyes. Anoint your eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. just like Joshua stood before the people, the congregation, and knocked on their heart's door and encouraged them to cleave unto the Lord, to love the Lord, and to obey the commandments of the Lord. So the Lord at His church door, knocking on that door. He shouldn't have to be knocking. He should be inside the church, shouldn't he? Shouldn't be on the outside knocking to get in, but He is. If any man hear My voice and open a door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with Me. It almost gets individualized here. It's no longer just a church, but now it's, I'll just take anybody who's willing to open a door. And I'll come unto them and we'll have good fellowship together and you can enjoy Beulah land and enjoy the possessing of the land. Verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with Me in My throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with My Father in His throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear unto the churches. Joshua's warning to love the Lord the God. If they went back to cleave unto the gods of the remaining nations, God would stop helping them. And that's exactly what God had to do. He had to stop helping them. And the whole book of Judges, which falls right after the book of Joshua, is all about Israel doing the very things Joshua said, don't do. Compromising with the nations round about. And then God would allow those nations that were remaining to overcome the children of Israel and subjugate them and tax them and put them under tribute until they were so upset. And they would cry out unto the Lord and the Lord would send them a judge who would deliver them. They'd repent, get right with God under that judge, and things would get nice and wonderful again. They'd have peace and rest until they started to do the same thing again. And the cycle would be that they would be subjugated and God would raise up another judge. Gideon, Samson, Jephthah, and all the rest of the judges. Deborah and Barak. The whole book of Judges is all about that. Sad, isn't it? You know what, though? It is good, though, to realize God will deliver. He will deliver. If you admit, you know what, I'm getting away from the things of the Lord. I'm compromising with the world. I'm looking and acting like the world. I'm talking like the world. I'm not living as I ought to. I need to confess and repent and get right with God. God's there to deliver. He's right there to deliver. What a God we have. And how often He puts up with this cycle. In no way is that a license for us to just, let's have another cycle. Oh, no. The cycles have consequences to the sin that causes the cycle. It's not good to have to go through those things. We ought to stay up there. You say, well, it just seems like that. No, it isn't. Remember, Joshua, Caleb, and a lot of other righteous people in the nation of Israel did not go into these cycles. They stayed right up there and they cleaved unto the Lord. They loved the Lord. They obeyed the Lord. And they were enjoying the land that God gave unto them. Not everybody was enjoying the land. It's a lot like some of the people in the kingdom age. You know, when Jesus comes and rules and reigns, we're told that the crops are going to grow and the curse is going to be lifted and everything. But do you know, there are going to be some places during the kingdom age that are going to be dried up. Vegetation isn't growing. You know why? Because they're not obeying the king down there in Jerusalem. The verses in the Bible clearly tell it that if they don't come up and worship the Lord Jesus Christ, then He's going to stop the rain from falling on their land. I don't know if in the kingdom age you get a chance to fly in airplanes or not and look over. And you probably look over the land. Oh, look at how green and beautiful the kingdom of Jesus Christ is. Oh, but wait a minute. What's that little dark spot down there? What happened? Oh, yes. Oh, that's the household of whatever the name is. He refuses to submit to the king, and his land isn't producing any crops. Ooh. Oh, I think I see another one. Oh, boy. You could fly an airplane over the church age today and look down. You can see those who walking with the Lord. It's lush and green. Every once in a while, you see a patch that doesn't look so good. That's because so-and-so is out of fellowship with the Lord. They're not enjoying possessing the land. How about it? How you doing? My exhortation to you is to do just what Joshua did, Caleb did, and what he's telling you and me to do. Cleave unto the Lord. Grab a hold of Him. Love the Lord. Love Him. And do the things that He tells us to do. Walk in the Spirit. Obey the Lord. And you will possess the land and avoid this peril of apostasy. It came upon them. It did, over and over again. May it not come upon you. Let's walk with the Lord in the joy of the Lord, in the fellowship of the Lord. All right, Jason, can you come? Play number 415 for us. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. How about that to close up with? What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Let's sing number 415. If you can get up and stand with us, that's fine. If not, that's okay to stay seated. I know you might be waxing old and stricken in age, but it's okay. Let's sing. Okay, 415, leaning on the Everlasting Arms. To avoid this peril of apostasy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.